Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Great to be with you today as we are continuing our week-long discussion of health and wellness and get into another great topic today. What are parish nurses? We're going to talk about that in just a little bit with our guests. And if you'd like to join the conversation today, you can do so. You can call us at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or you can email your question. Send an email to family@kfuo.org. So joining us on the phone today, we have joining us from the LCMS Life and Health Ministries is Maggie Carner. Welcome, Maggie.
Hi, good to be here.
Did I get that right? Is it Life and Health Ministries?
You got it right.
All right. And also joining us on the phone is Dr. Marcy Schnorr. Welcome, Dr. Schnorr.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And you are, what's your official title with the parish nursing program?
I coordinate parish nursing for Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Excellent. So Life and Health Ministries, the parish nursing coordinator of parish nursing for the LCMS. We're going to find out all about parish nursing. I know during my service in my early days working in the church, we talked about parish nurses and had a parish nurse in one of the congregations that I served, and it was a blessing. But I don't know if I really got to know everything that I want to know, and I'm sure our listeners as well today want to find out more. So, Maggie, what is a parish nurse? I could take a guess at, you know, from my experience, what a parish nurse is, but I'm guessing it encompasses far more than what I'm thinking.
Well, probably. And I'm a pastor's wife, so I've been involved in congregational activities for years, and to be quite frank, I didn't really understand the extent of the work that parish nurses do until I actually became involved in helping to coordinate the program. This is a vocation that has really, it's sort of come of age in a very dynamic way in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And I know that KFUO regularly talks about the Lutheran doctrine of vocation. And this is one example where the doctrine of vocation is beautifully expressed in the vocation of parish nursing. When we follow the example of Christ, the church has always been involved in caring for people, both body and soul. When you look at Christ's ministry here on earth, he obviously, expressed the ministry of caring for people's soul, forgiving their sins and teaching them about, God's plan of salvation for them. But at the same time, whenever he was teaching or preaching or forgiving sins, usually you see him caring for someone physically at the same time. It hardly ever do those things happen independently of each other. And so it's clear that Christ had an understanding of his children as being very comprehensive in both body and soul. And so we feel that it's incumbent upon the church to take Christ's example and care for body and soul together at all times.
Why do you think Jesus cared for the body as well? And how does that play out in your ministry as well?
Well, because he created the body. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is the author of all life. And he designed every complex cell in our body, and he knows how we work. And he is the great physician, as it says in the scriptures. And so he has an intimate relationship with our bodies and cares about every cell. And so, it's clear that he sees us as a complete holistic creature. And so it's incumbent upon the church to do the same when we look at the sheep in our flocks.
The body and the soul are joined together. They're not separate entities. They're one gift that's enjoined together that God has entrusted to us.
Absolutely. And the two affect each other. You know, when people are going through difficult times physically or terminally ill or having a hard time with disease, it affects them spiritually. Satan uses that as a challenge to their faith. And likewise, when people are having a hard time with their spiritual life, or perhaps their prayer life is stalled, or they feel distant from God, it creates physical consequences as well sometimes.
And we've talked about that a little bit earlier this week in some of the other discussions on health and wellness, that when the body is not well, then quite often you see that those symptoms in other aspects of life as well, in mental health and in spiritual health as well. Marcy, how would you describe the anything you would add to that in terms of the description of the parish nursing program?
Well, I think Maggie has done a really good job of the overview. Clearly, people are holistic, and when we look at that, we're looking at body, mind, soul, relationships, any aspect. And as a nurse, we would talk about the presenting symptom. But the presenting symptom is oftentimes just the tip of the iceberg. The person may be complaining of a headache, but why is the headache? Mm-hmm. It may be because of stresses, anxieties, spiritual unrest. You could take any system that a person has, it will reach out to each part. And one of the wonderful things is Jesus was both man and God, and so he understands. And because he understands, he took care of both parts of the person. And that's what we're here to emulate, to also take care of the whole person.
And tell us a little bit about your background, Marcy. I know that you're a nurse as well.
And
a doctor at that. Tell us about your background and how you came to be a part, how you came connected with the parish nursing program.
Well, my doctorate is in adult education. So I am a nurse, registered nurse, and that first and foremost, a parish nurse does need to have a license as a registered nurse that is active in the state that they are working in. I worked for a number of years in the hospital. I also taught nursing for 30 years, and I've actually been in parish nursing for 25. Now, if we add those together, I'm 110. But the good news is I did a lot of them at the same time. And so I'm really not 110, just getting close.
I was going to say, you look pretty good, Marcy.
But my background included a lot of intensive care. It included emergency room surgery. When I taught primarily community health and mental health. So I have some experience that comes from all areas. And then when I got my doctorate, I got in an adult education, and that's a long story, but in the midst of everything, I really wanted, even though I was going to a state university, and I did that simply because it was close to where I lived and where I worked, not for any other particular reason, but my doctoral committee were all very active Christians. None of them were Lutheran, but they were active Christians. And they supported me in doing for my dissertation whatever I chose. And so I did a dissertation on developing a spiritual care model. And that spiritual care model was for nurses to not forget the spiritual dimension of the person wherever they may happen to be serving. Shortly after I finished that, I got a call from Reverend Howard Mueller, who at the time was the director of health ministries, but I'm not sure that was the exact title because they changed periodically. But he called and asked if I would coordinate the parish nurse ministry for Synod. And my response was, I didn't know we had one. And interestingly, his was, we don't. But would I do something to help make it start? And that's where we began. We began with my love for the Lord and my background in being active in the church, both on the district level and in our congregational level, put my dissertation to work, even though it was not specifically parish nursing. Nothing in my dissertation would not have applied. And I guess the rest is history.
So, Marcia, would I be correct in saying, and I think the year was 1988 when the LCMS
yes.
became the first?
Yeah, I came on board in 88, and we officially launched it in 89.
So in 1989, the LCMS became the first body to name a national parish nurse coordinator, and that was you. So really, the LCMS is kind of a trailblazing leader in this ministry. So that's something to lift high.
Are you familiar with, Maggie or Marcy, are you familiar with any other church bodies that have a parish nurse program similar to ours or are comparable?
There are parish nurses in numerous different denominations. I'm not aware of any that have a identified national person that coordinates efforts. There are grassroots efforts. There are some other denominations that have parish nurses within them that get together and meet for different reasons. But no, as far as, to my knowledge, LCMS is the only one with a real organized national effort.
And what does that mean to coordinate those? What are some of the things that you coordinate? What are some of your responsibilities in terms of organizing the parish nursing program?
Well, we began with 6 known parish nurses. We now have over 1,000 that are known. And so I serve to consult with them as they may need to. I try to promote and recruit. We have identified a district representative, hopefully, in each of the 35 districts, although usually there's about 4 or 5 vacant at any given time. But I work with each of the coordinators to either help them get things started in their own network so that the nurses can work together, networking together. Because unlike a nurse who works in a traditional setting where there are lots of other nurses that you work with and you can bounce ideas off of, many times the parish nurse is the only one in her church and maybe even the only one in her circuit. So there are no peers nearby.
Mm-hmm.
So the district networking becomes really important. I've also worked with Concordia University in initiating their parish nurse educational programs. I've spoken at different conferences. We have a newsletter that I gather the information for. I've had the privilege of working at different exhibits, conventions, talking to people. We have a listserv discussion.
One of the things that Marcia is really good at is promoting continuing education for parish nursing. And in addition to, trying to make sure that all parish nurses have that ongoing education, not only just from a clinical standpoint, but also from their understanding of the in-depth theology of the Lutheran Church and our confessions. And it's really important to Marcia that our parish nurses understand what Lutheran theology looks like in practice when she's working in a congregational or a hospital setting. Marcia has made this sort of a hallmark of her service for the LCMS is making sure that our nurses are trained in this area. It's very critical that, especially as parish nurses serve sometimes they're very important in assisting the pastoral office in helping them. Sometimes they become the eyes and the ears of the pastoral staff, kind of identifying specific health needs in the congregation. And sometimes pastors will use parish nurses to do visitation or assist them with visitation from time to time, or hospital visits, helping with counseling the caregivers in the family. And so when parish nurses are constantly faced with the need to express the theology of the cross in practice. And so our parish nurses, it's important that they understand are very savvy in the understanding of this, of theology of suffering and theology of the cross, because that's what they're faced with every day. And I think it's a comfort to pastors to understand that these nurses are trained in this area as well.
So that when we talk about practical theology, that's pretty practical.
It is very practical. when you're standing at someone's bedside, it's very practical.
Absolutely. Well, that's great to hear that it's important for our parish nurses to get quality training in quality theological training, especially in theology of the cross. what better medicine, what better medicine that can you find than that to bring to someone, to bring that the comfort of Jesus when someone might be sick or even when they're well, to be able to bring that good news of Jesus, to remind those who are well that the good health that they have is a gift from the Lord as well. You mentioned, Maggie, you mentioned that quite often parish nurses will serve as kind of eyes and ears or in the parish and in parish life for pastors in terms of keeping tabs on who's healthy and who needs who needs some support, who needs who would probably benefit from prayer and encouragement. What is a typical parish nurse? What are some of the things that a typical parish nurse would do? I don't know if there is such a thing as a typical parish nurse, but what are things that a parish nurse would do?
Well, it's funny that you could say, that you said you don't know if there is a typical parish nurse. There are some parts of the vocation that appear often in different job descriptions, but you're right. Every parish nurse is different, and that's the nice thing about this vocation is that it can be tailored to the situation or the congregation where he or she might serve. But typically what parish nurses are involved in would be, and it's important to remember that, and I say this often, that a parish nurse is not just a nurse in the congregation. She's more than that because she's specially trained with understanding the ins and outs of the congregation and also that theological component. So sometimes parish nurses are involved in health education for both the congregation and the community. They can be a wonderful outreach into the community as they provide health screenings or health fairs, on site at the church. They can provide classes in health and safety issues like CPR or infant child safety, caring for caregivers. Some parish nurses facilitate support groups. Groups on grieving and those types of things. Parish nurses are involved in personal one-on-one health counseling too. Sometimes they'll meet patients one-to-one to discuss their personal health concerns and kind of assess what their emotional or spiritual needs might be. They are often a liaison to the community health resources that are already out there in the community. So sometimes they'll make referrals when needed to healthcare providers or social service agencies. And sometimes many of our parish nurses either work for their congregation or their district, kind of initiating response to community crisis. Some of our parish nurses serve for their district on their disaster response team for their district and are an important conduit in getting that emergency care out to the field quickly. Parish nurses can also coordinate volunteers. Some of them arrange transportation assistance, visits to shut-ins, meals for family during difficult times. They serve as kind of often as the liaison to a congregation's human care or mercy or social ministry committee. And finally, most important, that parish nurses serve as kind of that integrator, that connecting point of faith and healing. It's really important when people, especially in times of crisis, for example, end-of-life situations, parish nurses can assist the pastor in helping families make these difficult decisions within a Lutheran Christian context. And they can encourage and assist the congregation in many different ways in how they share the gospel in word and deed. And like I said before, sometimes they'll assist the pastoral staff with parishioner visitations or visiting caregivers and that sort of thing.
Marcy, anything to add to that? That's quite an extensive list.
She did a very good job of that. I think maybe one thing that I might add that the parish nurse can do and often does do, when we look at caring for the congregation, we sometimes forget that the congregation also includes the pastor and the other professional church workers. Mm-hmm. And they also have health and wellness needs, but oftentimes are hesitant to share that because of their public role. But most parish nurses not only are good at making observations and maybe pick up things before it's been said, but also as they work together as a team with their pastor, they develop a relationship and a trusting relationship between each other. And so the pastor or his family or other church workers in their families who maybe have either physical or mental issues that they're not prepared to share with other people will share with the parish nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And the parish nurse is able to encourage them, help them, monitor them. It may be as simple as monitoring blood pressures and heart rates. It may be something related to a child who's got a mental illness. You know, the scope is wide, but I'm certainly aware of a lot of people who have done that.
Sure.
I think it's important for pastors to they're comforted by the confidentiality factor here as well. So mm-hmm. it's a good fit.
I'm a director of Christian Education, or DCE, and the parish I served that had a parish nursing program, the nurses were great about checking my blood pressure regularly every week. They were pretty good about that, making sure that I was
healthy.
Whether
you wanted it or not.
Right. they were pretty nice about it. But they did. They cared for me, too, as a member of the congregation. They were very gracious in making sure that I stayed healthy as well. Are parish nurses, in the most part, are they volunteers? Are they quite often paid staff?
Well, that is a really difficult question to answer because it varies so much.
Sure.
We would always ask that they be called staff, and the reason that they're called staff is, again, to make that team ministry concept, and that as they reach out to the community, they're doing so as part of the staff from the church, and that just opens some few doors. But as far as compensation, some are full-time salaried, some are part-time unsalaried, and the scope goes every place in between. We are seeing more paid than there used to be, but I think the number of partially or not paid still are the majority.
Are there particularly paid and full-time parish nurses in particular places? Are there certain types of congregations that tend to bring on parish nurses full-time?
Well, generally those are going to be the larger, more affluent places that can do that, although there are a number of parish nurses that I'm aware of that are working pretty much full-time, but are doing it as their stewardship of time and talent.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was their choice to maybe not receive full compensation. Now, they may get mileage, and they may get a payment to a conference or something, but as far as a salary, it's minimal at best, and that was a choice.
Sure.
Sometimes it's very part-time, and they get nothing. So there is no one answer to that.
While I'm sure it's probably more common among parish nurses, there are other church workers as well, I'm sure, that may do the same thing, maybe in the same
Absolutely.
Setting, where they may serve on a half salary or simply that's their way of giving to the church and to the Lord's work is by giving their time and their talents, as you said.
Absolutely, and I would point to Paul. You know, Paul was one of the greatest of the evangelists, and he made his living baking tents.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes the parish nurse may hold down another job, and that's what she actually gets, what
sure.
she lives on is her other role, and then she serves the parish nursing as a gift.
Would you say that, I'm gathering that most of our parish nurses are female. Are there a few guys that serve as parish nurses?
I am aware of maybe two or three. There may be more because we always find people that we didn't know are out there. It's a matter of self-report or a matter of the district reps reporting them. But I do know there's one in Wisconsin. I know there's one in the state of New York. Beyond that, I'm not sure.
And I know that historically, nursing certainly has been a vocation quite often filled by women. But I see more and more men serving as nurses, especially with my involvement with the nursing programs, the nursing education programs here in the St. Louis area. I've seen a lot more men. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll continue our discussion of the parish nursing program, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, here in just a little bit. And so I hope you stick around so that you can learn more with me. Our guests today are Maggie Carter from LCMS Life and Health Ministries, and Dr. Marcia Schnorr, the coordinator of the parish nursing program. Stick around for more Faith and Family right here on KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Texas State Senator Wendy Davis was praised by the liberal pro-abortion media throughout America for her attempt to stop legislation that in part would stop abortion after 5 months. Since then, she's received over $250,000 in campaign contributions and is said to be considering a run for governor. Senator Davis has lots to say about standing for women's health care and the GOP's war on women. But who disagrees most with the senator? Who opposes her radical stand on abortion? Women. 5 major national polls show women support limiting abortion after 5 months of pregnancy. This shows Senator Davis is standing against women. You could also say it's she who's complicit in the war on women, born and unborn. And I think Texans will see the truth.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
What are the ecumenical plans of Elizabeth Eaton, presiding bishop-elect of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America? Live Wednesday on Issues Etc., audio open lines on the ELCA Churchwide Assembly. We'll also continue our series on the Book of Romans with Dr. Mike Middendorf.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
Perhaps you're a regular worshiper at the church of your choice, or maybe it's difficult for you to get to church on Sunday morning. Either way, you'll benefit from our live worship broadcast each week on Worldwide KFUO. Our early service begins at 8 and originates from Blessed Savior Lutheran Church in Florissant, where Reverend Matt Roglin leads worship. Our live late service at 10:30 comes from St. John's Lutheran Church in Redbud, Illinois, where Reverend Mark Neville serves as pastor. Join us for the message of salvation in Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings on Worldwide KFUO.
Martin Luther once proclaimed, "I have no pleasure in any man who despises music. It is no invention of ours. It is a gift of God. I place it next to theology. Satan hates music. He knows how it drives the evil spirit out of us." We're now providing beautiful classical music and sacred classics online 24 hours a day at classic99.com. Take pleasure in this gift. classic99.com, a ministry of KFUO Radio.
The Evangelical Immigration Table, formed last year, has launched a $400,000 radio ad campaign, so says Dr. Barrett Duke of the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberties Commission.
These radio ads, many featuring local pastors and some featuring prominent national voices, will be playing at saturation rates for over 2 weeks in 56 congressional districts.
U.S. analysts say it appears that some of the former Soviet republics are trending more and more toward religious intolerance. Catherine Cosman is a senior policy analyst with the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom.
The situation has gradually deteriorated as the countries have passed particularly strict laws, a combination of religion laws and extremism laws.
Cosman says violators should be named and shamed, but she also says the Republic should be encouraged to understand that forcing religious groups to go underground only creates the potential for a necessary conflict. I'm Norman Hall.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Great to be with you as we are continuing our discussion this week of health and wellness on Faith and Family. We'd like to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for making sure that this program happens. If you'd like to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website, kfuo.org, and then go to the sponsors section, click on the Concordia University CUW logo there, and that'll take you to their page. You can learn all about all they have to offer. We're continuing our discussion now. Before the break, we were talking about the history of the parish nursing program and what parish nurses do. And I'd like to talk more about, Marcia, Why would we want to add a parish nurse to our staff at our church? Maybe we have a small church or a medium-sized church. Why would we want to add a parish nurse to the staff?
Well, I think a parish nurse is someone who can come beside someone, and nurses are recognized as being very intimate with people in their worst of times as well as in their best of times. And oftentimes, even though the pastors are very willing, the pastors are certainly most able, and they're certainly our leaders, many people hesitate to either bother the pastor or in some cases share. A woman who's going through some female health issues may prefer to talk to the nurse than to the pastor. A woman who's going through domestic violence, domestic abuse issues, is going to rather talk to a female, which is usually the nurse, instead of the pastor. The pastor is there for preaching and teaching and giving the sacraments, but sometimes there are several shut-ins who really don't need anything other than the loving comfort. And the parish nurse can go and make those visits and be an extension, not instead of his visits, mm-hmm. but as well as his visits, so that perhaps he doesn't have to go as often, that she becomes an intercessory. The parish nurse is oftentimes known by the people and a part of the church family already, and so that issue of trust is already there. And because they have what Granger Westberg oftentimes said, one foot in theology and one foot in nursing, they really can speak the language of both sides, and it's more comforting to people who aren't sure that they're ready to share with anyone.
And I can see that... It's very similar to the mercy work of our deaconess as well, except for deaconesses obviously don't always have that the medical training, the nursing education that a parish nurse would have, but certainly the mercy and care and compassion, and especially if you have a female nurse that women can certainly identify with and connect with, I could see how that could be a benefit.
And it's funny not to say that men wouldn't be good parish nurses, or that parish nurses don't minister to men as well, but it's just an added dimension.
Sure.
Andy, it's funny you should bring that up, because the original historical understanding back in the day in Germany, most deaconesses were nurses. And so, of course, we've moved away from that model here in the United States, because our deaconesses do so many different things, and their vocational callings are in a number of different areas. So what we've kind of tried to do with the parish nursing program is kind of provide that nursing back into the life of the church in a different way. So mm-hmm. now we have both deaconesses and parish nurses.
And both are a blessing to the church, absolutely.
Absolutely, yeah.
You've both described the theological aspect of the vocation of parish nurse as being very important, and that theological training is important for this vocation. What kind of theological training someone who's interested in maybe becoming a parish nurse, how do they go about getting the training that they would need? Marcy?
Yes, the educational opportunities are certainly there. Concordia University, Wisconsin, is probably the premier provider that we have for parish nurse education. And their course, it's been in existence since 1990, has changed its format periodically just to meet with people's needs. But it's a combination between the Department of Theology and the Department of Nursing. So it is taught by nurse educators, and it is taught by theology professors, pretty much a 50-50. We also have, we've been working on a course which will be available online through Synod a little bit later on, that is maybe not quite as detailed as the Concordia course, but it's certainly a good course. It's an introduction. It will provide theology components, both by theological clergy, both in practical and in mercy. We have continuing education courses that have a theological thread or are completely theology, depending upon the topic for the day. We're going to be making some more DVDs that will also have a theological component. So I think it's just really important There are many, many educational programs for parish nurses. However, those that are not from either Concordia or through the Synod programs lack that theological program. They are more generic, and mm-hmm. people who have completed those, we have an opportunity for them then to take the theology part of the education.
And it's I noticed in the break that you mentioned that Concordia University of Wisconsin is one of the sponsors of this radio program, and that's great.
Absolutely.
I can put in a plug for them, because every year they sponsor a large conference for all of our LCMS parish nurses and provides continuing education opportunities for them, both from a practical level and from a theological component as well. And it's a great opportunity for parish nurses to network and share best practices and that sort of thing as well. But that happens every year up at Mequon at Concordia University of Wisconsin.
What time of year is that conference?
It's always in May, the end of May.
End of May. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good to know. Maybe we'll have to make a trip up there and meet with all the parish nurses and find out what's going on.
We'd love to have you up there. Absolutely. Broadcast from there. That would be wonderful.
We every opportunity we have to learn more about what's going on in our church body, and especially in vocations such as this, and parish nurses who care for so many families in our churches in ways that they've been given through their theological education and also their medical training. That's just phenomenal. It'd be great to be surrounded by all kinds of folks like that. So how long is that conference typically? It's in May. Is it a day or two, or?
It's 2 days. It's always the last week of May, and Wednesday and Thursday is the Parish Nurse Conference. On Tuesday, the district reps come up there a day early, and we have our own meeting, but the actual conference is on Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay, great. Last week in May. I'm making notes of this. So anybody who is an RN and licensed in their state, they could pursue this type of education, whether it be through Concordia or as you mentioned earlier, there's an online program or online courses that are going to be made available in the future. They could pursue this theological education, and then is there certain certification that they would need, or qualifications they need in order to be identified as a parish nurse?
Okay, the certification becomes a confusing topic for many people, particularly
sure.
in nursing, because there are nursing certifications that don't always apply. And to make the requirement for the parish nurse, she would need to be licensed in her state. She would need to take a course, and then you get a certificate of completion, and you would qualify to have a parish nurse pin, and that is what would make you a parish nurse. Now, if you have a course that's at least 32 hours long, and most of them are, you will qualify to move on into the certification process through Health Ministries Association, which is the generic professional, just as they certify operating room nurses, they certify school nurses. They're now working on certifying school nurses, but that's a secular certification. Mm-hmm. Within the church, you just have the certificate completion.
And it's worth noting that, we talked earlier about the LCMS sort of being a trailblazer in mm-hmm. this vocation here in the United States. But Marcy has been very instrumental in bringing the concept of this vocation to our church partners internationally. Last summer, Marcy taught 17 nurses in India with the parish nursing course. She went over there and did this continuing education course with nurses there that are members of the India Evangelical Lutheran Church, and provided certificates of completion to 17 nurses there. We also have kind of a renaissance globally of different Lutheran church bodies becoming more and more interested in this vocation, because it has a huge application in different settings internationally. So that's one of the other areas that Marcy has been assisting the Synod with, and opening doors for this vocation internationally.
Absolutely. And I could see how that connection, how they can make that connection. On Friday, we're going to talk with, we're going to talk about the Mercy Medical teams. And I could imagine that parish nurses probably play some role in that as well, in helping prepare folks for those trips or connecting people with those opportunities to serve.
Well, one of the things is that, you know, as we recruit nurses to go and work clinically overseas, kind of in different settings, some of our best volunteers have been parish nurses, and we always look to our roster of parish nurses to help fill some of those roles, because we know that they're willing and able to serve.
Sure, and what a great network they would serve as, as well, to connect to other people to recruit more volunteers to serve in those. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to talking about that on Friday. If you would like to join the conversation today, you're welcome to call us here in the studio at 314-821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727, or email your questions and comments to family@kfuo.org, as we are talking with Maggie Carner from Life and Health Ministries in the LCMS, and Dr. Marcia Schnorr, the coordinator of the Parish Nursing in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and learning a lot today. If a congregation's thinking about, you know, starting a parish nursing program, or maybe that someone's interested in serving as a parish nurse, we've talked about the education and what it takes to prepare to become a parish nurse. If a congregation's thinking about that, what things do they need to consider? Are there costs associated? Obviously, if you're paying the salary of a parish nurse, but are there other costs that they need to consider, or other things that they need to consider in terms of planning for a parish nurse ministry?
Well, I can answer that because my home congregation right now is working on getting having a parish nurse serve our congregation. And so even though she'll be working on as a volunteer part-time basis, our congregation will be supporting her by paying for her educational component for her to be trained. And then also for, we want to make sure that she has a place, an actual office in the staff office, so that she is visually seen as part of the church staff.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the office, you know, paraphernalia that goes with all those kind of things of setting up an office and making sure that she has the supplies that she needs. So those are just some of the things that we need to think about budgeting for as we bring a parish nurse on.
So office space and equipment as well,
absolutely,
things like that.
Yeah.
Marcy, anything else that you think we need to consider before, you know, delving into this venture of bringing on a parish nurse?
Well, I think, you know, the space and the equipment certainly can have very bare bones to get started, and then it can increase as you go on. So you don't have to have a Cadillac to begin with. Another question that people oftentimes ask us is the issue that about insurance, because clearly you're still a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's important to include the parish nurse on the congregational liability policy, and the nurses would have their own liability insurance. Now, having said that, I know I'm opening a can of worms, but I say that to be, let me go on with it.
Sure.
There has only been one known nurse that has ever had anybody even question them as far as liability, and they did not win anything. So in our day of litigation, people look to doctors and nurses as opportunities to sue.
Mm-hmm.
However, in parish nursing, we're not doing invasive procedures. And that's what people are usually sued for.
Mm-hmm.
And most people do, in fact, love their parish nurse. And most suits go when you don't have a good relationship between people. And so I think many times congregations fear the issue of liability when, in fact, it's really not a concern.
And it would seem to me that parish nurses, for the most part, are providing that the first level of care.
Absolutely.
And not necessarily diagnosing per se.
Absolutely.
But providing more that first face-to-face care and recommending or making referrals, and as you mentioned earlier.
It is a question that makes people nervous, but I just want to assure them that it's really not that hot of an issue.
Sure.
So, Marcy, maybe you can explain the insurance situation with the nurses, what is adequate usually for nurses?
Okay, most nurses who are employed anyplace are always recommended to have their own liability policies. And that would cover me in my job, wherever it was, as well as whatever service I was providing to the church, as well as if I went next door to help the neighbor when they fell down the steps. Because even just being a good Samaritan, I'm still a nurse, and so I'm going to be looked at in a different way than the person who knows nothing at all about health care.
Sure.
The liability policy for a nurse is really cheap. I don't think I have a very high quality policy, and I don't spend over about $120 a year. That's not a major cost, and some of them are less than that. And so it's really wise to have you listed on your congregation's policy, because if somebody is going to bring a suit, they're probably going to sue the congregation and the nurse. They're looking for as many pockets as they can find. But it is not a major cost for nursing. We're not doing invasive care, so don't let that frighten you.
Sure, it's not an overwhelming expense for the service that it provides.
I think I'm remiss if I don't mention it, because it is something that a lot of people get concerned over until they really investigate it and discover it was not an issue.
Sure, certainly in our society today, that's a question that comes up. And so thanks for addressing that. So we've talked about the fact that someone needs to be an RN. Are there other people who might be a candidate to serve in this way or in a similar way? Maybe they don't have an RN. Maybe they have an LPN. Maybe a physician. You know, an MD. Do they work with parish nurses as well? Have you seen any settings like that?
Oh yes. Only a registered nurse can be a parish nurse, and that's not because of our choice. It's because of the nursing law. So we would be violating the law if anyone other than an RN took that role, because there is a difference in levels of practice. But having said that, anyone else, an LPN, a person who was an RN but they retired and didn't keep their license active, a dietitian, a physician, other health professionals, even the nurse's aide who wants to help in some way, there is congregational health ministries. Many times these work in concert with a parish nurse, or in congregations where there is no nurse, they may be able to provide a health ministry role. It won't be exactly the same, because you have to function within your own area of expertise and licensure, but you can certainly provide a valuable service.
Sure. Maggie, anything to add to that?
Well, if people are interested in what the practicalities of health ministries or parish nursing looks like, they can go to our website, and there's a manual that they can download that kind of explains some of the ins and outs of what it might look like, and how to get health ministries program started in your congregation. Just a caveat, we're in the middle of revising that manual and updating it a little bit, but the old one's still up there and people can take a look-see at it and get more information. Our website is www.lcms.org/health.
And we record these programs and archive them, post them on the KFUO website, so we'll be sure to include that link as well when we post the archive, so that folks can, if they're listening to the program in the archive, or if they're driving to the car, didn't get a chance to write that down, they can just go to the archive of today's show, and then they'll find the link there as well. So we'll make sure we post that. Any other thoughts about parish nursing? You know, we were talking about the training earlier at Concordia, Wisconsin. How long of a program is that? Is that something they're going to go through a full bachelor's degree, something they could attain while they're going through a nursing program somewhere else? How long of a training program would that be at Concordia University, Wisconsin?
Now, it's a certificate program, and it's assuming the person already has their nursing degree. I shouldn't say degree, the nursing license, because it could have been a person with diploma, associate, or a bachelor's degree. The course is offered three different ways, so the length of it depends on which option you took. One of the options is a four-day intensive on campus, and it meets all day for 4 days, and then there are some additional activities you do when you go home. Another option is online. That one, I believe, you have to do for credit. And they have another option, which is distance learning, which you do for continuing ed, not for credit. The online or the distance learning, you have 6 months to complete.
So it's really pretty flexible then.
Yes, you can
do the 4-day intensive on campus. You can do the credit online or the continuing ed, the non-credit program through distance learning. Those are all, they sound pretty flexible. That's great to hear that there are opportunities to study good theology and the practical side of it as well. And in that mercy side of it as a parish nurse. Sounds like a great program. Any ideas on numbers of how many people have gone through the program? It's okay if you don't have those numbers.
I don't. I'd be taking a wild guess.
You said we've gone from, what was it, 6 or 8 parish nurses?
Yeah, I know
the
as far as parish nurses in Synod. We started with 6 that I knew of, one of which was me. And then we're at least 1,000. And that number may not be accurate. There may be more that we don't know about.
Sure. And that's across Synod. So that's here in the United States and maybe a little beyond that as well.
Right.
And we do, Marcy mentioned earlier, we publish a newsletter for all of our LCMS parish nurses. And if anybody is interested in getting that, they can get that on our website as well. They can sign up for that.
Excellent. So if a congregation's thinking about this, they could go to that website and find out more as well about the parish nursing program. If someone's interested in becoming a parish nurse, they could go check out that information as well and be able to get in touch and find out more about that training. Or they could check with...
All of our contact information is up there, and they can call me or Marcy, and we'll get them all hooked up.
Wonderful. Any other thoughts as we're wrapping up today? We've got just about 2 minutes left. Anything that we really need to consider, or it maybe something we don't know about? Any great stories about the parish nursing program, Marcy?
Well, I just think it's a wonderful thing, and it's going to look different in every congregation depending upon the makeup of the congregation, serving the preborn through the chronologically gifted, and wonderful opportunities.
And I think I would add to that, you know, as our society ages, I see this vocation becoming even more vital as we move into congregations with an older population sometimes. Mm-hmm. I know that in my particular home congregation, where my husband is the pastor, we have usually upwards of 50 shut-ins. It's a larger congregation, but with that many shut-ins of people that are, as Marcy has said, chronologically gifted, it's really helpful to have someone else, you know, really making sure that these people are well cared for by the loving arms of the congregation and in the stead of Christ.
And I'm glad that you pointed out from the preborn to the chronologically gifted that for all ages, you know, that, and I know that, especially in Maggie's office that, you know, life and health, covering all those things. And I know we'll continue to talk about those topics here on Faith and Family throughout the year. You mentioned earlier, with about 30 seconds left, Maggie, how are parish nurses involved in life issues?
Well, I think it's critical that they understand, you know, and they do. They serve an important role in the congregation of valuing both life from the moment of conception all the way until natural death. You know, a lot of parish nurses are involved in welcoming new children into the congregation and helping new mothers get situated to their new role. And regularly, parish nurses are involved in end-of-life decisions and helping families make life-affirming positive decisions as caregivers for loved ones at the end of life.
Thanks be to God for the gift of parish nurses. Thank you both for being on our show today and talking about the parish nursing program. Thank you, Dr. Marcia Schnorr, for being with us today.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Maggie Carner from the Office of Life and Health Ministries in the LCMS.
Thank you so much for having us.
And coming up later on this week, we'll continue our discussion of health and wellness on Faith and Family as we talk about the importance of family meals tomorrow. And then Friday, we'll get into a discussion about Mercy Medical missions and all that they have to do here and around the world. Stick around for Moments of Assurance up next here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.